We've heard a lot today about some of the MPs, Labour MPs, that are now coming out against the war, thanks to the anti-war movement. Well, our next speaker is someone I can say has been part of the anti-war movement since day one, one of the leading figures, actually, our Labour MP, Jeremy Corbyn.
Thank you very much, and well done, everybody, for being here today and for sticking with the anti-war movement, because when we founded the Stop the War movement in 2001, at that time the bombing of Afghanistan hadn't even started. But those who founded the Stop the War movement as a coalition of those who felt that the response to September 11, 2001 to bomb the hell out of the people of Afghanistan was immoral, wrong, brutal, and would spawn other wars in the future, how right they were, how right we were at that time. And it gives us no pleasure to be able to say that. But I do think we should just reflect for a moment on the value of the Stop the War movement over these years. We've organised hundreds, thousands of public meetings all over this country, a very large number of enormous national demonstrations, including the biggest ever demonstration in the history of this country. And it has spawned similar anti-war movements all over the world, particularly in the United States and particularly across Western Europe. And in those movements, in those activities, you have to ask yourself some fairly hard questions. What have we achieved as an anti-war movement? Obviously, we didn't stop the war in Afghanistan, and we haven't yet stopped the war in Iraq. But I think we can quite honestly say we've made it impossible for any Western government to start another war anywhere in the region again because of the degree of public hostility to them. I think we've also helped with the fastest ever transformation of a country from the axis of evil to the most desperately needed friend the world has ever seen column, and that is the way in which Iran and Syria have been moved from the X column in January 2002 to please, please, will you talk to us? Please, can we come and visit? I understand Tony Blair has Blair Force One on standby, ready, go straight to Tehran, say anything, agree with anybody. So I think we've had an effect there. But we've also had quite an important social effect. And in a sense, this is what today's conference is partly about. War brings out the best and the worst in people. It brings out a mentality amongst politicians who love to be seen with men in uniform. It brings out a mentality amongst a lot of the media that they have some patriotic duty to report whatever it is the government wants to do because they are supposedly reflecting the national will. It also brings with it a very nasty, very dangerous, very insidious growth of racism within our society and intolerance of those that are opposed to the war. What it also brings, every war does it, is a growth in the power of the state over the individual, in the sense of anti-terror laws that we have on our statute books. So I want to just say this about the Stop the War movement. In many parts of the country, where communities are divided and communities are not talking to each other and not meeting each other, the Stop the War Coalition has provided that place, that forum, that purpose, and that need, and brought people together in a tangible form of opposition to racism. And I think it's very important that we register that. Now, when Tony Blair was interviewed by David Frost on Al Jazeera, I thought the day had long passed when I would be pleased something David Frost said or did. But, you know, every dog has its day. And David Frost asks Tony Blair the fairly obvious questions, Prime Minister, isn't the whole business in Iraq a bit of disaster? Absolutely, David, yes, but what we have to do is move on. And then he pulls at the cuffs at that point, you know. We have to move on a little from this point. And you might think it's a disaster, but where I'm sitting, it doesn't quite look like a disaster. Well, Downing Street spin machine, they work really well on Saturday mornings, absolutely brilliant. Apparently, the explanation for this rather strange statement by the Prime Minister is that he always agrees with the questioner whenever he's asked a question. Well, again, a nice bit of spin, but in my experience of 25 years of meeting Tony Blair, it's never been my experience that he's ever agreed with any question I've ever asked him about anything. But there we go. And so we move to desperation stakes. Now isn't the time to back off and retreat. Now is the time to demand immediately the withdrawal of British and US forces from Iraq and from Afghanistan, where a terrible, unwinnable war is going on that will destroy the lives of an awful lot of soldiers, an awful lot of civilians, and an awful lot of that area, and possibly extend that war over into Pakistan. But I just conclude with this thought about tolerance and issues within our society. John McDonald was speaking earlier about the way in which the Irish community were pilloried in the past. And in my experience as an MP, I was first elected in 1983. I spent most of the 80s supporting Irish people in my constituency who had been wrongly detained under the Prevention of Terrorism Act. Very few were ever charged. Hardly any of those that were charged were ever prosecuted. Very few of those prosecutions were successful. One, unfortunately, that was successful was Paul Hill of the Guildford Four, who 17 years later walked out of prison as an innocent man. But the way they got away with it was by pillorying the Irish community. As John said, the Irish joke, the general sort of denigration of the Irish community. Look back in the history of the popular media in this country. The way that Jewish migrants to Britain in the early part of the 20th century and late 19th century were pilloried in exactly the same way. The way the revolting cartoons appeared in the yellow press in this country. The way that black migrants were pilloried later on. The way that there was always a crime rate connection between migration and people arriving. And now it's the turn of the Muslims to be treated in that way. And these absurd stories that appear day in, day out on the media, this general denigration of Muslims. We might laugh at it because some of it is laughable, but it ain't laughable when a racist on the street feels it's okay to take out somebody who is identifiably a Muslim, that it's okay to put a brick through the window of a mosque. It's okay to make Muslim, anti-Muslim jokes and things like that. So we have a responsibility and a duty to oppose the war, to call for the withdrawal of troops, to call for peace and justice in the region, and to support the cause of the Palestinian people. And please, if you can, come to the very important lobby of Parliament on the 29th of November. It's very important that we show solidarity all the time with the Palestinian people. And it's also important that we demonstrate in the Stop the War movement that we are serious about bringing people together, keeping people together, welcoming and supporting the diverse and multicultural nature of our society, and lifting people's eyes up beyond the misery of hatred, beyond the misery of war, beyond the disasters that are happening, and say it is possible to run the world in a different way if you start sharing resources, sharing ideas, sharing hope, rather than destroying it on the altar of the neocons and the lickspittles like Blair, who fortunately is on his way. Thank you.